News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
The EU has said that they are going to double down on sanctions, expanding the level of sanctions against Russia to the greatest degree we have seen so far. Donnacha O'Bacchaghan is with us. He's professor of politics at DCU and author of Unfinished Empire, Russian Imperialism in Ukraine and the Near Abroad. Let's look at the military situation first of all, Donnacha. Ukraine in a very difficult position because of an incapacity to access missiles. The EU doesn't have them and America won't provide them.
That's very true. I mean, one of the reasons that we're seeing this kind of escalation, it's a preemptive effort on Ukrainians' behalf to degrade Russia's capability to create missiles, because most of the missiles that have been targeted at Ukraine in recent weeks, Ukraine has been unable to block them, and they have caused devastating damage throughout Ukraine against residential blocks and the like. And this is, you know, essentially a form of state terrorism. But it's linked in a way to the war in Iran, because most of those anti-ballistic missile defense systems that the Ukrainians had managed to acquire had been from the Americans. Now, the Americans weren't providing them for free. The Europeans were buying them. Certainly, the Trump administration has no interest in providing them for free. But now the Trump administration doesn't even have them to sell. Lockheed Martin make about 700 a year. A lot of those have been used up now in fighting against Iran, because Iran, of course, had its own missile system and drone system. So, yeah, the Ukrainians are in a very vulnerable position, and they are now escalating the war by bringing long-range attacks, particularly on, most recently, Russia's version of Amazon, Wildberries. They've degraded, they said, 7 of the 10 biggest warehouses in Russia. And that's really brought home to a lot of ordinary Russians the consequences of the war.
And that, I assume, was part of the aim, was that the war would not be something distanced and out of mind, but something real to individual Russians within their own state.
Well, absolutely, because, I mean, this war, which is not even called a war in Russia, it's a special military operation. It was promised to be short. Putin expected it to be popular, like his annexation of Crimea. But now it's been dragging on for 4.5 years. It's estimated that 1.5 million Russians have died or have been, you know, injured in this war. They're losing something in the region of 40,000 soldiers a month. So they're having ever greater difficulties in avoiding another mobilization, which would be deeply unpopular. I mean, at the moment, they're recruiting from around the world, from the developing world, you know, sometimes under false pretenses. They've been dragging up ethnic minorities within Russia. They've been emptying the prisons. And still it's not enough to feed the meat grinder that's necessary to pursue Russia's military objectives in Ukraine. So, but a lot of Russians still in Moscow and St. Petersburg, those kind of white Russian, Slavic, cappuccino-sipping Russians, they have been largely excluded from feeling those kind of repercussions of the war. And, you know, attacks on things like Wildberries, the fact that so many drones were targeting Moscow over the weekend, the Moscow mayor said something in the region of 600 plus drones aimed at Moscow over the weekend. This is bringing home to a lot of Russians that Putin's narrative that this is a special military operation and not a full-scale war, and that it's not going according to plan, I think that's been driven home to a lot of people in Russia now.
And how will the increased EU sanctions play into that picture?
I tell you, we're now on the 21st round of EU sanctions, 4.5 years in. There's a lot of people who wonder, if we're having so many rounds of sanctions, why these weren't introduced at the very beginning. So, for example, Kaya Kallas' statement that was highlighted there in the news bulletin says that they're going to increase the number of sanctioned entities in Russia by a third. You're wondering, well, why weren't these sanctioned before? And of course, the reasons are is that there's so many exemptions. There's so many workarounds. Indeed, you might say our own Akinish plant in County Limerick, which the Ukrainian government believes is being used to supply Russia's military war effort. These are all examples of how many countries have managed to get exemptions for their own industries, their own dependencies on fossil fuels. Some countries in the EU are still importing fossil fuels from the US. So even though there's been many rounds of sanctions and there's always promises of more, they haven't had the impact on the Russian economy. And that's not least because, of course, EU isn't the only trading partner with Russia. Russia's managed to find partners in China, in India to buy its oil. And of course, in terms of the military, it's getting a lot of support from North Korea. There is that kind of team authoritarian that's kind of uniting around Russia at the moment in terms of its war effort and in terms of avoiding sanctions.
Donnacha, thank you so much for that analysis. Donnacha O'Bacchaghan there, Professor of Politics at DCU. 53106 if you want to get in touch by text, or 087 1400 106.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. conversation that counts.